Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We have one case on our docket today, and that is Stanley Victor McDaniels versus the state of Florida.
Even with the recent changes in Florida's statutory scheme, it bans the lawful carry of all classes of firearms except for concealed handguns anywhere in the state. Heller rejected such wide restrictions. It found that the restriction on just one class of firearms, handguns, while still allowing rifles and shotguns in residents' homes, was still a constitutional violation. If a ban on only one class of arms cannot stand, then certainly a ban on all but one class of arms must also fail.
This was from the oral arguments when the case for Stan McDaniel, you know him, he is a frequent flyer as a political candidate, never does very well, but he got himself arrested on, I would say on purpose, back in July 4th of 2022 for openly carrying a gun in his waistband with, you know, he had a tripod and a camera, and you might remember this incident, and PPD comes along and says, hey, man. He says, no, man. and they charge him. He winds up getting convicted, sentenced to community service. He appeals that. The sentence was put on hold pending that appeal. And he goes to the First District Court of Appeals back in 2024 in October, and his lawyer, Eric Friday, argues before a three-judge panel, the First District Court of Appeals, that's basically the, you know, the panhandle, okay, First DCA, and argues that, look, based on the Bruin decision in the United States Supreme Court, the prohibition on open carry in Florida is unconstitutional. And I know you probably don't know all of these precedents, and that's okay. And you don't know all the history. The ruling that came down yesterday is phenomenally easy to read and lucid. Supreme Court opinions can be a little, you know, thick, okay? This is very easy to read. It's only about 20 pages long. And the short version is that post-Bruin, you know, they go through the history of all the, you know, Heller, the right to bear arms at the federal level, like in D.C., because that's where that case was. And then you have the McDonald decision, which means the states also, you have to have the right to carry a gun. And then you had the fallout and the ends mean scrutiny and the idea of, you know, tailoring the means to the end of achieving public safety and having your gun restrictions. And then the bombshell was the Bruin case. That's the most recent one. And the Bruin case is a New York State rifle and pistol. And that's the, you might have heard it described that way, versus Bruin. But the Bruin case said, look, if a gun restriction affects the Second Amendment right to keep and bear, the and bear is the most important part, to keep and bear, to carry, okay? If a gun restriction affects the Second Amendment, then you have to go look in history. And you have to find whether there's any historical precedent for an allowable law that restricts guns similar to the one that you're saying is legal, is constitutional. And if you can't find it, then it's not. Well, when it comes to open carry, squadoosh. There's nothing. And that's what the argument was in front of the First District Court of Appeals by Eric Friday on behalf of Stan McDaniel. And yeah. As he said,
because the state failed at the one job that Bruin told it had, and this is laid out clearly in the record in the motion to dismiss and the judge's order. The state offered no, not even one, historical analog to justify Florida's open carry ban.
Well, the state argues that the historical analog is the ban on concealed weapons, and that there were many laws at the time of the founding that did ban concealed weapons, and they say that it really is, it's a restriction that the state can impose on the manner of carry.
Okay.
And why isn't that a historical analog?
Well, so, Your Honor, I would point to the seven state Supreme Court cases from 1822 to the late 1800s, every one of these cases struck down not a ban on open carry, because open carry was generally allowed in most of those cases. Those seven Supreme Court cases all said that the state could regulate concealed carry. Not one of them ever allowed the state to regulate or restrict open carry, only concealed.
That's it. In fact, it's kind of weird because, you know, we modern era Floridians as opposed to the 46 states that have open carry where they don't quite have the same prejudice anymore. By the way, it's California, New York, Illinois, and Florida. Isn't that amazing? We are one of the last holdouts not to have open carry in Florida.
Which one doesn't belong together?
The Gunshine State doesn't allow open carry, right? Okay, so anyway, there's no historical precedent. Now, I was getting to the perception. The perception is that weirdos open carry and good people concealed carry. Historically, it's exact opposite. Historically, it's bad people concealed carry because they don't want you to know and they're about to do a bad thing. You know, it's the murderer or the robber or the person who's trying to do something bad. Or he's trying to provoke you to a fight in which he can draw his weapon and kill you, which is also something that kind of came up. The open carry was the norm. That's what everybody did. That's what the honest person does. By the way, that accomplishes the purpose of deterrence. Hey, don't mess with me. I've got a gun. You know, as opposed to concealed carry, which has no deterrent effect whatsoever. Anyway, so they looked at these historical examples, and there were three categories. One was examples where you were prohibited from carrying an open carry because if it would terrorize people. Well, that's if you're going to use it badly. There's another one where you had to post a bond because you were considered to be sort of, you know, if you were going to do something bad with it, and you had to have, like, people thought you were dangerous, and you basically posted money to compensate for if you did something bad, but that bond would be paid back if you didn't, and they were always temporary. There's a third one I'll get to. Well, and if you're going to breach the peace, okay? Anyway, the three different ways in which you could be restricted, none of them had anything to do with open carry. And so the court said, do you have anything that deals with open carry? Well, under Bruin, that's it. Case closed. You cannot prohibit open carry with the Constitution. We'll get back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
If you're on North Davis Highway about to approach North Cross Lane, there's an accident there. No roadblock, no delays. I just wanted you to be aware of it. But other than that, the rest of I-10, I-110 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So all of those prior cases presume open carry is the norm because it's criminals and scoundrels who concealed carry. There was a precedent decided by the Florida State Supreme Court called Norman, but that case was argued under the standards prior to Bruin. And as the court, the First District Court of Appeals panel, which, by the way, was three women, it was kind of just interesting that happened to be three women, as they pointed out, well, look, if the Supreme Court has ruled that the old framework doesn't hold and we decided that you could prohibit open carry based on the old framework, that's not controlling anymore because the Supreme Court says not to use that approach, right? And so the interactions with Kevin Golombeski, who is the representative of the state attorney general's office, he's the solicitor general, it was just kind of devastating to listen to them. In fact, if you had been watching this oral argument, if I had watched this back in October, I would have told you they're going to rule against Florida. It's clear as day that they're going to rule against Florida from the oral arguments, but nobody was paying attention. I certainly didn't. Nobody else did. That's why when it came as a surprise yesterday, it shouldn't have come as a surprise at all. It's completely telegraphed in the conversation. Sometimes you can't tell in oral arguments. In this case, you could completely tell.
But let's wait a second on that. I mean, the entire reason the United States Supreme Court took Bruin was to discuss the two-step analysis being applied in all of the federal circuits, being applied by the Florida Supreme Court in Norman. And it expressly held that there's one step and that deference is required to the people who ratified the Constitution, not to state legislatures. Norman unmistakably applies two steps. So why isn't Bruin a complete game changer in this case?
And the answer is it is. But the attorney's got to be like, I got to make something up here.
It's certainly, I certainly agree that it abrogates the methodology. I think our view is that it does not touch the ultimate holding.
And the ultimate holding rests on an analytical framework, correct?
Yes,
that analytical framework has been repudiated by the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, no.
So under the Supremacy Clause, how can we ignore the United States Supreme Court's methodology that it is required for Second Amendment cases in deciding this case solely because we have a Florida Supreme Court opinion that relied on a now repudiated framework?
So the reasoning that your side depends on has been rejected. And it's the Supreme Court to which we are subservient as a Florida State Court of Appeals. they have supremacy, so we're done here, though, right? Why am I here? I'm regretting all my life choices. So, yeah, so it was, as I say, it was clear as that was two different judges, right? They're both, and the third judge was on the same page that you guys are wrong. And you know it, though, right? You know you're wrong, right? Don't you? You know you're wrong. So, yeah, this came as really, in a way, no surprise at all that under the constitutional interpretation of Bruin, there's no evidence that there was ever any idea that you could regulate open carry, especially for just ordinary citizens under ordinary circumstances. There might be some restrictions. There might be some place restrictions, some manner. There might be some time. There might be some restrictions. You might be able to say you can't take it to an elementary school. You might be able to say you can't take it to a polling place. But you can't just say nobody. That's what the ruling says. And it was clear as a bell, this ruling that came down yesterday. So you might be asking the question, a very reasonable question to ask at this point. Okay, what can I do today? Right? I mean, that's the next reasonable question. And I'll tell you what I know, and I'll tell you what I think. Okay? I talked to Santa Rosa Sheriff yesterday, Bob Johnson, and he said they are still reviewing it just to make sure that they don't make a misstep. They want to make sure that they're, you know, they issue a statement that's, you know, fully in compliance with the law. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says, I have directed our deputies to not enforce open carry statute for the time being. We expect further guidance in the near future. I'm going to talk to PPD at 7:35 this morning. We'll find out what they're doing. I would expect that they are doing something like Chip Simmons is doing. I haven't talked to Rick Hawthorne in Gulf Breeze. I haven't talked to Chief Frank in Milton, but I'm assuming they're, you know, somewhere between we're not sure yet for official purposes guidance, but or we are allowing open carry because of this ruling in the panhandle. Uthmeyer says they're not going to appeal it. I talked to their office yesterday. They're not going to appeal it. So the AG says we're done here. Here's my interpretation. So I've told you what I know. Now I'll tell you what I think. Here's what I think. I think in Florida you open carry today and it's perfectly fine. By the way, pistols or rifles. So yeah, I'm not advocating you exercise the right. Be smart. Be smart. If you show up at the Publix with your Glock on your hip and a holster, I mean, look, you're legally right. But you might get tackled. You might get shot. You will almost certainly get the police called on you. And if it's the sheriff's office, they're going to answer, yeah, we're not enforcing that statute. That's legal. Okay, but you get that people are not all fully enlightened and informed. They do not all listen to this show. You know, so, I mean, they may not know. They maybe didn't see Channel 3 last night, and even that maybe not have been clear to them. So, yes, it's legal. There's more. And I want to be very careful how I say this, because I don't want you to interpret me as playing lawyer, and I don't want you to interpret me as telling you what you can do, but I'll tell you what I suspect is the case. If you read the various statutes for gun regulations in the state of Florida, it's a very weird scheme prior to this ruling. You have the prohibition on open carry. That's what was struck down, 790.053. They said that's unconstitutional. You then have a statute that delineates when you can lawfully possess, 790.25. And it says things like when you're, you know, in your house, or when you're heading out to hunt or fish, or when you're at a gun range, or when you're traveling in a public conveyance and it's securely encased, or when you've bought a gun and you're bringing it to your house. I mean, okay, it gives you, these are all the times when you can. Under the concealed carry statute, it also says if you have a concealed carry permit, or now if you are allowed to conceal carry, you still can't take it to a school, to a college, to a polling place, to a court, to a police station, or to a bar. Here's what I suspect. Because of the various statutes as they exist and what's been struck down, all of the prohibitions against where you can't carry it are all contextualized within the concealed carry statute. That's not affected by this ruling. You still can't concealed carry at a school. I think maybe the prohibitions don't apply to open carry. I strongly recommend you don't try open carrying at a bar today, or at a school today, or at a poll. Well, we don't have a poll. At a court today. But based on my read of the law, that might be legal today. And I suspect we might get an emergency session to clarify that all the places prohibited to concealed carry are also prohibited to open carry. But I don't see the law currently saying that. Let me tell you very clearly, I will not be open carrying at any of the places where it is prohibited to concealed carry. Nor will I be concealed carrying at those places because it is actually for sure illegal. So be cautious, be smart. Don't get yourself shot, tackled, or even arrested or anything else. But I think that's where the law stands. And again, based on what the Escambia County Sheriff's Office says, they are not enforcing the open carry statute in Escambia County for pistols or rifles as of today. 625 on News Radio 92.3. John Clear?
Very crystal.
Right. Thank you. What's going on the roads?
All right. If you're on Beulah Road and Mobile Highway, we've got an accident with injuries. It's off to the side of the road, and I'm not seeing any delays, but I wanted you to be aware of it. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. The Highway 90, 29, 98 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying a house, selling a house, getting a rental property, moving to the beach, moving to the city, moving to the country, whatever the case may be, downsizing because you're empty nesters, upsizing because you're making more babies, you know, whatever the case may be, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you with that. They sold 165 homes last year. That means that they know how to do this. They know how to price it, stage it, open house, set it, right? All the things, negotiate, get you through all the way to closing, solve the problems. But also, they know how to kind of figure out what you're really trying to accomplish and then help you accomplish it. And sometimes that might mean telling you, you know, what you're trying to do, maybe you can't afford, or maybe it's not a good idea to try it, you know? Maybe it won't produce the revenue that you think it'll produce. Obviously, it's your decision, but they're there to be the experts. They're there to help make these decisions, make them good ones. And Christina Leavenworth and her team are fantastic at this. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Yeah, baby.
Do we want to get rocked?
Let's get 629 News Radio 92.3. Feel free to text me your questions about open carry if you have them. We'll be talking to Alex Andrade coming up next half hour in about 15 minutes. And, you know, people are asking me questions like, what about brandishing? No, still illegal. You can't menace somebody with a gun. What about carrying in a bar? Don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out. You know, do you need a concealed weapons license to open carry? You do not. When does it become effective? Now. The ruling came down now, and the AG is not protesting, so we're done. It's over. David Wayne, do you have a quick headline for us, sir?
Well, the manhunt continuing today for the person that shot and killed Charlie Kirk yesterday. Police in Utah did say that two different people were arrested and later released after interrogations.
Yeah, absolutely horrid. If you've seen the video, you know it's an awful thing to watch. Political violence is never justified.
Gianna Gelosi, a nationwide manhunt is underway after a sniper murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University.
Right now, all we know is that the killer was dressed entirely in black tactical gear and fired from a rooftop about 200 yards away. Investigators so far have gone door to door asking people who live nearby to review any home surveillance video.
As Fox's CB Cotton, President Trump, who frequently credited Kirk with helping him win in 2024, posted on Truth Social.
My administration will find each and every one of those who contributed to this atrocity.
Now, later this morning, the president will be at the Pentagon Memorial Ceremony marking the 24th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks. Later, he'll travel to New York to throw the first pitch at the Yankee game. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 62. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Kim McChesney will reportedly not be returning as assistant principal at the Gulf Breeze Elementary School. The News Journal reporting that Bobby Luter has been appointed as the new permanent assistant principal at the school. This comes after McChesney's son, Matthew, was arrested on multiple charges, including possession of child pornography, but he was still allowed to participate in the senior walk, despite having confessed to authorities weeks prior to that. McChesney had been on paid administrative leave since August 4th. A community petition gathered over 1,300 signatures calling for McChesney's removal and a review of school safety protocols. Matthew McChesney was arrested weeks after that senior walk at the elementary school. A 21-year-old Gulf Breeze man is dead after a motorcycle crash on Gulf Breeze Parkway. That happened near Twin Pine Boulevard. An SUV that was driven by a 39-year-old woman turned in front of the bike. The rider sustained fatal injuries. Both the driver and passenger of the SUV were also seriously injured. Well, after decades of allowing concealed carry but banning open carry in Florida, an appeals court has now determined the ban on open carry was unconstitutional. The Florida Attorney General's office not planning to appeal the ruling, which likely means that carrying weapons is now permitted in the state. Earlier this week, the topic came up when News Radio talked with Sheriff Chip Simmons.
Because they're even constitutional carry, you still can't carry it everywhere. So, you know, am I concerned about it? No, it's not something that's going to keep me up at night. But it's certainly something that I would like to take a look at the legislation, look at who can and can't, and in what capacities can you carry it and where.
In that conversation, the discussion was centered more on open carry legislation. Simmons did say he supports the Second Amendment, but is also concerned about officer safety and a connection between guns and drugs. Warrington Preparatory Academy has now won an appeal with the State Department of Education and improved its grade to a C. This comes after the school had received failing grades for years and was turned over to Charter Schools USA 2 years ago. After receiving a second D grade, they had been given an extension to bring their grade up.
I'm just looking ahead. I'm not satisfied. I'm really not satisfied with the C. It feels good for the moment. And like I said, you can take a collective breath. But for me, I think Warrington deserves an A school. And can you imagine what that will mean for this community when we get there? I mean, I think it's just going to change a lot of people's perception about what can come out of this area.
And that's Warrington Prep Principal Delvin Vick. The school's appeal on their D grade showed as many as 48 students that were zoned for the school but had been placed in alternative programs had been counted towards their grades. Navarre Beach Fire Rescue Chief Daniel Fury is facing a DUI charge. He was booked into the Santa Rosa jail earlier this week and released Wednesday morning on a $500 bond. The Navarre Fire Board will determine any actions regarding his status within that department. It's 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you are on, let's see here, Beulah Road and Mobile Highway, we've got an accident there. No delays associated with it. It's off to the side of the road, but I wanted you to be aware of it. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Seeing some minor delays over in Navarre, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And 62, partly cloudy. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Friday, we will have nice sunny weather, high near 92. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 89. And by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 62, partly cloudy. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors today are on the lookout for the August Consumer Price Index, which is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time later this morning. Economists polled by Dow Jones are expecting the index to rise 0.3% on the month and for an annual gain of 2.9%. Treasury yields nudged higher this morning as investors gear up for the second of two key inflation prints out this week. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury was 2 basis points higher at 4.057%. The 30-year Treasury yield, meanwhile, increased 3 basis points to 4.705%. Oil prices are moderately higher amid weak U.S. demand and a softening economy. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $63.16 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $67.01 per barrel. Futures are slightly higher ahead of inflation data later this morning. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 220. The NASDAQ up 6. That's Your Money Now.
What are you doing every day to support your liver? If you enjoy sweets, fast food, alcohol, or take any medications, that's a vital question to ask. Hi, I'm Sherry Torkus, pharmacist and health author. For over 30 years, I've helped people make informed decisions about their health, especially concerning prevention and long-term wellness. Supporting your liver isn't just a wellness trend, it's a daily essential. That's why I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. It's made with plant-based ingredients like milk thistle, turmeric, and globe artichoke, herbs clinically studied for their protective and restorative effects on the liver. Active Liver blends traditional herbal wisdom with modern scientific research. Not all supplements are created equal. I trust Active Liver because it's backed by science, meets strict quality standards, and delivers true daily liver support.
Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday, join the Vitas Healthcare and Pensacola Humane Society on North Q Street for a 9/11 community remembrance event from 11 till 3. See PensacolaHumane.org for more info. The Upper Room's annual Mission 5K will be held Saturday starting at 8 on Pensacola Beach. Proceeds will benefit the church's missions. Find out more at UpperRoomPensacola.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Not only is this court bound by Norman, but also 053 satisfies the history and tradition test under Bruin and Rahimi.
Do you concede this is a federal constitutional law question?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. And on the Norman point.
And with that concession, Bruin controls.
I disagree, Your Honor. I don't think Bruin controls because it has not spoken to the question in this case, the ultimate question of whether 053 is consistent with the Second Amendment.
That was the oral arguments back in October. That was Kevin Golombowski, the Solicitor General, Deputy Solicitor General, representing the state. That's when Ashley Moody was the AG because we hadn't had the whole shuffle around of personnel. They lost, and as you could hear the questions from the court, the Supreme Court is in control, and the Supreme Court says, you got to come up with a historical analog to show that you're justified in regulating the open carry of firearms, which Florida is one of the last states that did not allow this until yesterday. They couldn't come up with one. There isn't one. And so the court very definitively, 3-0, the panel said, yeah, it's lawful, and Stan McDaniel's conviction is overturned because that section of statute, .053, is no good anymore. What that means for us and what that means going forward, well, that's why we'd like to talk to our legislator, Alex Andrade. He's our state representative for District 2 and a lawyer, so pretty good call, I would think. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Let me just say, I've already gotten a text from one of my millennial friends my age saying the music, the intro today was spot on.
Nice. Thank you. Not old rap, but old for anyway, let's just move on. Okay. So, you know, what I have said and what I said in the last half hour, and I don't assume you heard, was that as of this morning, because I've talked to Sheriff Simmons, they're not enforcing the open carry ban for pistols or rifles right now. I haven't gotten confirmation of that from PPD or from Santa Rosa. They're all either working on it or just I haven't heard yet. But as of this morning in the first district, which is us, open carry of firearms is lawful. Maybe not smart, maybe not always wise because not everybody knows and how they react. But at least from a legal perspective, this ruling is definitive for this slice of Florida, right?
Yes. The first DCA made a specific finding. They found that Florida Section 790.053 was unconstitutional. And that's the general prohibition on the open carrying of weapons. They found that was unconstitutional. So at least in the first DCA, which is, you know, Escambia County down to like, think like the turn in the Florida Panhandle, like the armpit just past Leon County for the entire state. That's the law. And the Florida Attorney General, James Wiesmeyer, said he wasn't going to challenge it to the Supreme Court, the Florida Supreme Court. So it holds pretty significant weight right now. And I think it would be instructive for the rest of the state as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my take is at for the whole state, basically, because the AG is not pursuing an appeal, it's probably legal elsewhere. It's certainly legal here. Obviously, people perhaps could try to appeal this decision, and I would be surprised if nobody tries to appeal it. But at the moment, anyway, that's the case. Then the subsequent questions I have are things like, what does this mean for the, for example, place restrictions? You know, the concealed carry statute has all kinds of restrictions on you can't go to a bar, you can't go to a school, you can't go to a polling place, can't go to court, can't go to a legislative body that's in session, can't go to, the college campus, can't go to a sporting event. But the way I read the various statutes here, it seems like those place restrictions are nested within the concealed carry statute. And if the open carry statute goes away, it's not clear to me that those specifics are even prohibited anymore. But you're the lawyer. How do you read it?
Well, Andrew, you very well could be right. I haven't done a survey of all the other prohibitions in Florida statute and compared it to 790.053, but I mean, our courts are they're encouraged, almost required, almost without fail, to take a strict construction of Florida statute. So if the Florida statute doesn't prohibit openly carrying and it actually provides specific instances of concealed carry, then yeah, there might be circumstances in Florida statute right now, I think you're right, where concealed carry would be prohibited, but open carry would be allowed. I don't personally, as a Second Amendment advocate, as someone who's comfortable and familiar with firearms, as someone, you know, who, you know, has carried concealed, does occasionally carry concealed, you know, depending on the circumstances, you know, I'm comfortable with that. I don't think it's going to change. It hasn't changed in the majority of other states. Like, you haven't seen some rash of increase of violence because other states have become open carry before Florida. So I don't think it's going to be a major change in anyone's life. But yeah, I think right now you do have a lot of circumstances in Florida statute because of that strict construction where concealed carry might be prohibited, but open carry would not.
Yeah, it's and that's why I'm looking for guidance. You know, I'm still waiting on. I was talking to Ginger Bowden about this a little bit, and she did not get back to me on details just yet. I tried to get her on the air today, and that just didn't work out yet. Because I mean, I think people have questions, and for a lot of people, this is irrelevant. They're not going to open carry. They don't care. But for gun advocates who have wanted this for years and years and years, they're very eager. And you know, my own approach was there was one part of me that literally thought, you know, I could go to Publix right now. And there's another part of me that said, don't be an idiot. You know?
Well, no, there's a distinction. I mean, going to Publix is a private business. Private businesses are not prohibited from regulating activity on their private premises.
Right.
So private businesses, if you're a bar, if you're a restaurant, if you're a Publix, Target, if you're any business, you can have your own policy and you can enforce that. No one can, because there's no Florida law that supersedes those private businesses and their ability to regulate activity and who can be on their premises based on gun ownership or not. You know, I think that this probably just the people most affected by this are gun advocates mm-hmm. who wear, you know, maybe like tight jeans or don't like wearing jackets because now they can open carry
right.
With their shirts tucked in. You know, so I think like those are the people that should be celebrating the most because now, you know, they can do that without discomfort.
We're going to come back to Alex in just a second. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Hang on, Alex. We've got traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. No accidents or delays to let you know about I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. Two questions for you, Alex. Number one, were you surprised by this ruling and how definitive and unanimous it was?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, you need a good test case, and apparently this checked all the boxes facts-wise to be a great test case. So I wasn't surprised. I think you've seen across the country rulings like this, and there was an obvious trend in this direction.
Second question is, because of some of the lingering questions about, you know, for example, place, particularly where you can carry openly, do you expect there to be a special session called in order to clarify Florida statute or, I don't know, guidance from the Attorney General's office or the I mean, what are you expecting here in the near future?
No, I mean, like I said, I don't think that this is a earth-shattering, life-changing situation that would merit a special session.
Okay.
So, I mean, we might see some cleanup statute in the regular session, but this is not an emergency. I wouldn't consider this an emergency or anything that would justify a special session.
Very good. Switching gears to arguably unrelated, but it's still dealing with the gun subject. Obviously, we all saw what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk and, you know, just a horrific act of clearly politically motivated violence. I don't think there's any other way you can explain what happened. And, you know, it might turn out not to be that. But you've got to presume that that's the case here, right?
Yeah. Charlie Kirk's assassination yesterday, I'd never met the man. 31-year-old father, 3-year-old daughter, 1-year-old son. He led with his faith. Like, he led advocating for people to have kids. He led, you know, he always spoke about the fact that the most important aspects of his life were his faith in Christ and his family. And to see someone who was such an incredible example, such like a 31 years old, talking about nothing, flying on Air Force One, nothing in his life, an incredible life, well-lived at 31, nothing in his life compared to his daughter, his three-year-old daughter, running up to him and squeezing his leg or giving him a hug. Like, it shook me to my core yesterday. It broke my heart. It's terrible what happened. You know, and my hope is that Charlie Kirk's legacy is going to be one encouraging, inspiring people to be focused on their families, to raise families, to live an unashamed Christian faith-filled life, and to always be seeking truth. I mean, he was a truth seeker. He was an incredible debater. He was open always to people's differing opinions. He was open to having his mind changed. But this is an incredible loss. And, you know, my friends and colleagues who knew him are shaken. And, I did not expect to be as emotionally affected, by his death as I was yesterday.
We have this very frightening, it seems more common idea that speech is responsible for violence. And some people, including somebody who's now been fired from MSNBC, Matthew Dowd, apparently, for even implying that because he advocated for gun ownership, that, you know, and said what they consider to be hateful things, that therefore that's a form of violence, which then sort of justifies a violent response. I know you and I have talked many times about how that equivocation is insane. It's the exact opposite of what America is built upon. At the same time, we want civil discourse, which can be lively and mean and sarcastic and biting. But we always have to try not to demonize our opponents one way or another, as President Trump said yesterday in his comments, right?
I mean, that was what Charlie Kirk set the example for. He inspired millions. My legislative aide and district aide, Turner Mitchell and Kenzie Quino, they wouldn't be working for me if it weren't for Charlie Kirk. I mean, he brought people together. He was so open. He never vilified. He never denigrated anyone for a different view. He set the example for civil discourse and how it should bring people together. And because of that, I mean, he inspired millions of young people, you know, in his life, in his career. There is a troubling trend. I saw a survey where over, I think, 55% of liberal Democrats said that there would be some level of justification for assassinating President Trump, 45% that said there would be some level of justification for assassinating Elon Musk. I mean, you see the glorification of Luigi Mangione, who killed insurance healthcare, CEO. Yeah. I mean, it's terrifying when people equate speech with violence and then also equate their violence with speech. And it's something that, you know, the folks who point the finger the most oftentimes have to look inward and kind of look deep inside themselves and figure out what's affecting them to feel that way. There's no place for this type of violence, especially against someone who set the tone and the example and inspired so many people to have peaceful, civil, energetic, thoughtful, respectful discourse. I mean, this was an incredible loss yesterday.
You know,
not just for all these people, but for this young family.
Yeah, all agreed. I have been, honestly, what's been the most disappointing to me is this seems to be dividing between people who agreed with him and people who didn't agree with him. And I would hope that we can all agree that it doesn't matter what the content of your speech is, you're protected. And I would die to protect the things that I hate, whether he was a liberal or an atheist or a communist. I don't care. He's protected because that's America. And I would hope that people on the other side of the aisle would say the same thing. And I've been frustrated, frankly, and disappointed to see there seems to be some distinction between those two views. And that's very disappointing because I'm not outraged by this because he happened to be on my side. I'm outraged because he was killed for his views and expressing them peacefully, which is Awful. Alex Andrade, Alex, thank you so much for the time this morning. I know you're busy with your own family, and I appreciate what you said about, you know, being very affected by it personally, because, you know, similarities to your own personal life. I appreciate that. As always, thank you for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So no emergency session, at least Alex doesn't think so, because the particular situations of the law change, he doesn't think, are urgent in that same way. He would know better than I, and I'll take his guidance on that. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you need any kind of video production service, anything, whether it's you want to do a video of the outside of your house in case there's a storm on the ground and in the air with drones, Pelican Drones can do that. Real estate, you're selling a house, you're developing a subdivision, they can put those videos together. You want to do a business walkthrough, you want to do an inspection, you want to do meet our employees, or client testimonials, or you want to do a training video or a website, who are we kind of thing, introductory video for that. They do all of that stuff. Now, I know drones is in their name, so you think it's only aerial-based, but no, ground-based footage, walking footage, fly-through footage, whatever the case may be, they do all of that. Then you own it, which is great. You know, they don't have any proprietary ownership of the material. You can rent them by the hour, by the half day, by the day, you know, whatever it's going to take to make your thing work the way you want it to be, and they can then produce you a 10-second, a 30-second, a minute, whatever the case may be for different platforms. They're just a comprehensive video production service. Fantastic folks, locally owned, pelicandrones.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We just got a tip on an accident that just happened on Highway 90. There's a wreck at the bottom of the bridge coming from Pace into Pensacola. So just be aware of that. That's going to cause, already starting to see some minor delays in that area. I-10 around eastbound around Highway 29, seeing some delays in that area too. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right. It's a beautiful day for football here at the stadium, and we're just about ready for kickoff. Score 0-0. And suddenly, I'm in the mood for a Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar. Now that's a winning combo. Yeah. Crisp, refreshing. That hits the spot. When it comes to great taste, Coke Zero Sugar's always on the scoreboard. Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Son, I'm just going to tell you this one time.
Yes, sir.
You want to keep working here. Stay off the drugs.
That is solid advice, Mr. McDowell. Thank you so much for the guidance. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. Security being stepped up today in New York as Americans remember the lives lost 24 years ago in the 9/11 terror attacks. There's a heavy police presence in Lower Manhattan at the remembrance ceremony Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, Vice President J.D. Vance, and New York Governor Kathy Hochul are among those who will be in attendance for that. President Trump is attending a remembrance ceremony at the National 9/11 Pentagon Memorial in Arlington. Well, all that's left to do now is wait to see if President Trump decides to send the National Guard to Chicago as part of his crackdown on crime and illegal immigration. Governor J.B. Pritzker there, still bracing, says he is glad that the president appears to be rethinking the idea. And NASA says that they may have found evidence of ancient life on Mars. Yesterday, they held a news conference about a rock that was collected July of 2024 by the Perseverance rover.
I was wondering where I dropped that. Okay. All right. So thanks so much, David. I appreciate it.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.